5. Leia paced from bulkhead to bulkhead in her cramped cabin space aboard the New Republic transport, head moving back and forth, servos whining and whirring. C-3PO tracked her movements, while Olmok and Leia's second bodyguard, Baspa Khan, stood vigilantly to either side of the curved hatch. An illuminated planetary crescent of blue and brown dominated the view from the cabin's transperisteel observation bay. A tone sounded from the communications suite, bringing Leia to a sudden halt.
"Ambassador," a raspy voice said, "we have the Raltiri Minister on Channel 1.
C-3PO pressed a lighted tile on the console, and the head and shoulders of a gray-haired man resolved in life-size hollow.
"Madam Ambassador," the man said, as Leia positioned herself for the visual pickup, "to what do I owe this honor?"
Leia frowned in anger. "Don't trifle with me, Minister Shirka. Why have we been refused landing privileges at Gralia Spaceport?" Shirka's deeply lined face twitched.
"I'm sorry, Ambassador. I thought you'd already been informed."
"Informed of what?"
"The Raltiri Secretariat has vetoed the proposal that would have allowed us to accept any displaced peoples."
"I thought so," Leia fumed. "And just what am I supposed to do with 6,000 refugees who were promised temporary shelter on Raltir?"
"I'm afraid that's not for me to decide."
"But the Secretariat agreed to this last week. What could have changed since then?"
Shirka looked uncomfortable. "It's rather complicated, but to be concise, the idea of accepting refugees didn't sit well with several of our more influential off-world investors. That, of course, led to the central banks to pressure the Ministry of Finance, and I assured you that the New Republic Senate had approved the allocation of funds for Raltir."
"So you did, Ambassador, but the promised funds have not arrived, and to be frank, there is rampant talk that they never will. As it is, investor confidence has been shaken. And as I'm sure you're aware, what happens on Raltir affects market response all along the Perlemian trade route."
Leia folded her arms.
"This isn't some stock issue, Minister. This is about everyone pulling together to help. What's happening in the mid-rim might not seem of pressing importance here in the core, but you're fooling yourself if you think you can hide from this. Have you already forgotten what the Emperor did when Raltir lent its support to the Alliance?"
Shirka bristled.
"Is that meant to be a threat, Ambassador?"
"You misunderstand. I'm only suggesting that you consider the heinous actions of Lord Tyan and Governor Denix Graeber as prelude to what the Yuuzhan Vong are capable of doing, and without provocation. Remember what it was like to be denied relief, Minister? Remember what Alderaan risked for Raltir?"
Shirka worked his jaw. "Your mission of mercy at that time has not been forgotten, but then the Alliance did receive something in return."
Shirka's allusion was clear. A wounded Imperial soldier Leia rescued had been the first to tell of Palpatine's superweapon, the Death Star.
"Regardless of who gained what," she said after a moment, "is it Raltir's intention to remain neutral in the coming storm, to avoid disturbing the privileged lives of its wealthy residents and investors?"
Anger mottled Shirka's face.
"This conversation is over, Ambassador," he said, and terminated the connection.
Leia glanced at C-3PO and blew out her breath.
"Of all the..."
"Ambassador," the same raspy voice interrupted.
"Governor General Amer Tariq of Rinnal on Channel 4.
C-3PO pressed another tile, and a miniature image of Tariq rose from the holoprojector.
"Leia," the elder statesman and noted physician began, "I'm so glad to see you safe and sound."
Tariq wore an impeccably tailored suit, whose mix of colors was too vivid for the hollow.
"Thank you, Amer. Did you receive my message?"
"I did, Leia. But I'm sorry to report that I don't have encouraging news. Rinnal cannot possibly accept additional refugees at this time, even on a temporary basis."
Leia was confounded.
"Amer, if this is about funds..."
He gave his head a firm shake.
Don't confuse Rennell with Raltir, my dear. It's simply that the 10,000 refugees we received from Ord Mantell have strained our resources to the breaking point. Just yesterday, we were forced to reroute more than 2,000 to the Ruin system. Leia's eyebrows went up.
Ruin is still accepting exiles?
More than accepting, Ruin is actually soliciting. In fact, I'm certain that Ruin would be willing and able to accommodate everyone you evacuated from Gindyne. One of a host of agricultural worlds managed by Salish Ag Corporation, Ruin, on the edge of the deep core between Coruscant and the Empress Tata system, was by galactic standards only a short jump away.
Let's hope so, Amer, Leia said. My humblest apologies, my dear.
The transmission ended abruptly, and Leia collapsed into a chair. She brought her hand to her mouth to stifle a yawn.
Maybe I'll get some rest after Ruin,
she started to tell C-3PO when the calm tone sounded again.
Yes,
she directed to the audio pickup.
A transmission of unknown origin, relayed from Bilbringi.
Leia sighed wearily.
What now?
I believe it's your husband, Ambassador.
A snowy image appeared on the communication console's display screen. Leia recognized the forward cargo hold of the Millennium Falcon, though it took her a moment to recognize Han behind the beard.
How do you like my new look? He asked, stroking the salt-and-pepper growth.
Han, where are you?
He swiveled the Nava computer chair.
I'd rather not say just now.
She nodded in a galled but knowing way.
How did you know where to find me?
I heard about Gindyne. Wasn't too difficult after that. You're still well known, whether you like it or not.
So are you, Han. And for all anyone knows, the Yuuzhan Vong could be hunting for you or the Falcon.
Han's brows beetled and his mouth formed a puckered O.
I'm not a complete blockhead, you know. That's why I grew the beard and had the Falcon painted.
Leia's eyes widened.
Painted?
Anodized, actually. A lovely shade of matte black. She looks like a mortician's delight.
What system are you planning to sneak into this time?
Sneak?
You heard me.
Oh, I get it. You mean maybe instead of frolicking around out here, I should be devoting my time to saving planets.
Leia huffed.
I'm not interested in saving planets, Han. I'm interested in saving lives.
Well, what did you think I'm trying to do? This is all about finding Droma's relatives and Roa, Leia. It has nothing to do with Ord Mantell or Gindyne or anywhere else. Besides, a man's good for only one promise at a time, and I gave mine to Droma.
Leia exhaled slowly.
I'm sorry, Han. I understand what you're doing.
She smiled thinly.
At least we still have something in common.
Han averted his gaze momentarily. Speaking of which, was it you who arranged for Ord Mantell's refugees to be transferred to Gindyne?
Yes, regretfully.
Han gave her a lopsided smile. You're complicating my search, sweetheart. Leia's frustration returned.
Am I? And who created such a muddle on Vortex that the local governor decided to renege on his promise to accept any refugees whatsoever?
I was only trying to...
Han's image suddenly tilted to one side, as if the Falcon had been stood on end.
Hey, Droma, watch what you're doing up there.
He turned back to the cam, jerking a thumb in the direction of the Falcon's outrigger cockpit.
Guy claims to be a pilot, but you never know it by the way he handles a ship.
Leia took her lower lip between her teeth in disquiet.
How are you two getting along?
He snorted. If I didn't owe him my life, I'd probably jettison him right here.
I'm sure, Leia said quietly.
By the way, you might want to pass along to the fleet office that a flotilla of Yuuzhan Vong ships was spotted near Osarian. Couple of destroyer analogs and...
Han, she said, cutting him off. Droma's sister is on Gindyne.
He sat bolt upright.
What? How do you know that?
Because some of his clanmates are among the group evacuated from Gindyne. There wasn't time to take everyone, and his sister was one of at least 6 Rin I was forced to leave behind. I didn't know until we'd already transferred everyone to the transports.
Why didn't you say so in the first place? Han demanded.
Because there's nothing either of us can do about it. Gendine's occupied.
There are ways around that, Han mumbled distractedly. Leia compressed her lips.
You are infuriatingly predictable.
And you worry too much.
Someone has to.
Leia, will you be there for a while, on Raltir?
She shook her head. We'll be leaving for Ruin, if I have any say in the matter. Then I'm going to Hapes.
Hapes? Han said in incredulity. And you accuse me of putting myself in the thick of things? Why there, of all places?
With any luck, to enlist the Consortium's help. The New Republic fleets are spread too thinly to defend the colonies, let alone the Corps. And now with Bilbringi, Corellia, perhaps even Bathawi endangered, we need all the support we can rally.
Which reminds me, Han, Admiral Sov has asked Anakin to go to Corellia to help in re-enabling Centerpoint Station.
He snorted. It's about time the New Republic started considering Corellia's defense.
Then you're all right with his going, without either of us?
How old were you when you agreed to carry the technical readouts of the Death Star? Which of us is watching over Jaina when she flies with Rogue Squadron?
But...
Besides, Anakin's a Jedi.
I suppose you're right, Leia said, clearly unconvinced.
Han smiled ambiguously. Be sure to say hello to Princess Solder for me.
Why don't you come with me to Hapes and tell him in person?
He laughed at the idea.
What?
And spoil your fun?
What's that supposed to mean?
He started to reply, but bit back whatever he had in mind to say, and began again. Is there any hope for the folks you couldn't extract from Gendine? Leia shut her eyes and shook her head.
I'm not sure any of them even survived.
I am Kain Kull, commander of the vessel you find yourselves aboard, the Yuuzhan Vong officer announced in expert basic as he meandered slowly among the immobilized and shackled beings captured on Gendine. Slender and of towering height, he wore a turban in which a winged creature was nested, its round black eyes mere centimeters above Kain Kull's own and identical to them. His command cloak, too, had a mind of its own, not so much trailing along the hold's pliant deck as in tow. The designs that twined around his forearms were of a decidedly beastly motif, though of a menagerie unknown to any of the captives, and the fingers of his elongated hands sported curving talons.
This vessel, which answers to the name Kresh in your trader's tongue, is to be your world for the foreseeable future. In time, the purpose of its sphere cluster design will be made clear to you. But even while you grapple with its mysteries, I want you to think of it as your home, and of myself and my crew as your parents and teachers. For you, all of you, have been selected from Ord Mantell's and Gendine's defeated multitudes to execute a singular service.
Kain Kull stopped in front of Worth Skidder, perhaps by chance, though Skidder preferred to think that some of his true nature, a touch of the Force, bled through the mental blanket he'd thrown over his identity. Behind the commander walked the tunic-wearing priest who had supervised prisoner selection on Gendine's surface, as well as the immolation of thousands of droids. Skidder and the hundreds of unclothed others in the ship's cavernous organic hold were literally fixed in place by dollops of binding blorash jelly and fettered by the pincers of living creatures. To his right stood an elderly man, clearly a captive of some earlier campaign, made to appear younger than his years by cosmetic treatments. To his left, two of the half-dozen Rin, who had also been selected for singular service aboard the Yuuzhan Vong ship, which, from space, had resembled a bunch of grapes. Elsewhere were other veteran captives, some left haggard, some strengthened by whatever ordeals they had been put through.
You have no doubt heard rumors of what occurred on the worlds you know as Dantooine, Ithor, and Abroa Sky, Kain Kull said, back in motion.
and you have no doubt heard rumors about how the Yuuzhan Vong treat their prisoners. I can assure you that all you have heard are lies and exaggerations. We are only trying to bring you a truth you sadly overlooked in your climb from the primal muck. Met with resistance, we have been left with no option but to force that truth on you. Met with acceptance, we have been far more charitable than your new republic overseers would have been to us. Because of political affiliations and other alliances, worlds don't often have a choice in whether to accept or decline our offer of enlightenment. The voice of a few decide the destiny of many. But on this vessel, you are individuals first, and each of you has an opportunity to decide for yourself whether to resist or to accept. You have a hand in determining your destiny, in governing your fate. Flanked by well-armed guards and still trailed by the priest, Kain Kal came to a halt alongside a tall statue of a creature that could only have sprung from some Yuuzhan Vong bestiary. Its convoluted body might have been modeled on a human brain, and yet the body possessed two large eyes and what appeared to be a mouth or wrinkled maw. Arms or tentacles extended from its base, some stumpy, others gracile.
I don't want you to think of yourselves as captives or slaves, but rather as collaborators in a grand enterprise, the commander continued. Serve me well, put your hearts into your work, and you will be rewarded with your lives. Fail me out of weakness, and I may be willing to forgive. But fail me with design, and punishment will be meted out swiftly and without mercy. In either case, I will be rewarded by the gods, though I'll be forced to look elsewhere for collaborators.
Skidder cut his eyes to the man beside him.
How long have you been aboard? He asked out of the corner of his mouth.
Losing track, the captive answered in a low voice. A couple of standard months. With subtle movement of his chin, he indicated the emaciated man to his right.
My friend and I were captured on the Jubilee Wheel at Ord Mantell. Got sucked out of the facility by some kind of space worm. First we were taken aboard a slave galley. Thought for a while we were going to be launched into a star and sacrificed. Then we were transferred to this vessel.
The man shot Skidder a glance.
You? Captured on Gindine.
Soldier?
Indigenous ground force.
The man turned ever so slightly in Skidder's direction.
But you're not native to Gindine. From the Corps, I'd say.
On what basis?
Hairstyle, for one thing. The way you carry yourself. Intrusion specialist? Intelligence officer?
Neither.
The man glanced downward.
Those aren't the feet of an infantry soldier.
I didn't say I was.
Operated an ATSAT scout.
The man nodded.
Okay, have it your way.
What's your name?
Skidder asked.
Roa, my friend is Fosco. You?
Kane. Any idea where we're headed, Roa?
None.
What about this singular service?
Roa snorted softly.
You'll see soon enough, Kane.
Kain Kal's preamble had resumed.
It's time you had a look at the centerpiece of our endeavor, he was saying. Think of it for the moment as a work in progress, but one that all of you will help to complete.
Behind the commander rose a membranous partition, beyond which, Skidder was certain, lay the nucleus of the ship. When Kain Kal turned, the membrane parted like a stage curtain. Though Skidder had never seen one in the flesh, he knew immediately that he was gazing at the living model for the statue that adorned the hold. A maturing war coordinator, the grotesque biogenetic creature the Yuuzhan Vong called a Yamask.